Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This is Kits and Waiters. I'm Adam Zdrojek, joined by Chris Owen to talk match day 15 in the Premier League. Chris, we're coming Thursday night. There's been a lot of somewhat meaningless Europa League, Europa Conference League, and Champions League matches this week, but the Premier League always matters. So, Chris, what's going on?
Yo, Adam. Good to chat again here. It is as you can imagine, it's now November. It's turned over to November here in the Pacific Northwest, which means it is cold and rainy, and the sun's already down. It's barely 5 o'clock. I got the space heater going here in the basement. You know, temps are low, but the spirits are high. We just finished up the Champions League group stage this past week. There was, you know, not much on the line really, but I think the big one was that I was watching whatever group the Sporting Tottenham Eintracht group, and that was like a blast to watch. Especially Frankfurt's my Bundesliga side, so I love to see them succeed. At one point they were atop the group, and then of course Spurs goes down and scores that like stoppage time just like rocket from Højbjerg. So yeah, the interesting little week of soccer, and we've got two more weeks until we won't be taking a hiatus, but the Premier League will be taking a hiatus for the World Cup. So we're 16 days away from kickoff, a little over 2 weeks, as you know better than anybody, the engine room doesn't stop at RotoWire specifically for soccer. So we'll be back, and we'll have plenty of content for that as well.
It's getting colder outside, but the engine room is heating up.
We're just shoveling coal in there right now.
Yeah, speaking of temperatures, though, it actually reached 70 degrees in Michigan today, so I can't say the same about a space heater for me, but a little warm over here. So match day 15, Premier League. If you're looking on the screen, if you're watching on YouTube, watching on Twitter, got the odds report up. If you don't get the odds report, rotowire.com/soccer trial. You can get the free 10-day trial. Just go to the cheat sheets, and then you go to the fan team cheat sheet, and you can see all 10 matches in this odds report. And this one is kind of crazy. We have Manchester City as about almost 85% chance to win. Next highest is Leeds at about 55%, and then everyone else is below 50%. So a lot of tight matches this weekend, and if we're looking at the implied goal totals as well, most of those are below 3. We got a 2.5 between West Ham and Crystal Palace there, but tight matches, low-scoring matches outside of the Man City-Fulham match, so it's going to be interesting to talk about, fun to talk about. We got big matchups as well, but the first one we're starting with is this Saturday one. Between Everton and Leicester City. So Everton are at home, and get them plus 140 to win. Leicester City plus 205 to win. Draw plus 235. And then I do not have the goal odds up, but I assume they're probably pretty even here. But we got Everton, and we got over 2.5 goals is plus 100. Under 2.5 goals, minus 120. So, Everton coming off a draw against Fulham, Leicester coming off a loss against Manchester City. What do you think happens here?
It's interesting looking here at the line movement. The line movement's been pretty much about the same throughout the last couple of weeks. Of course, Everton, you know, despite them playing, and I don't know how far back this line movement goes, but I mean, they were on that 3-game skid before where they
October 23rd there.
Okay, so this is about two weeks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, prior to this, we probably saw a little bit more line movement where it was, you know, they were on that three-game skid prior to that, and then they beat Crystal Palace 3-0, and then, you know, of course, returned to not scoring goals again against Fulham last week where it was 0-0. On the other hand, Leicester City have been an interesting side, and they've actually been playing a lot better. You know, started the season with, like, what, 1 point through, like, 10 matches or so, or nine matches, and now, you know, they lost to Man City last weekend, you know, who we all know is a really quality side, going to probably beat most teams in the Premier League, but they only lost 1-0. I didn't catch the match specifically, but, you know, that looks like a pretty good result for them, and I have to think that they're kind of turning it around slightly, you know, 0-0, and then 2-0 over Leeds, and then 4-0 over Wolves, and then you don't get any points out of it, but a decent 1-0 loss to Manchester City, who, you know, could have easily just blown them out too. So I kind of like Leicester City here a little bit more. I'm leaning them, and you know, looking at some of the injuries that they had earlier in the season, they're pretty much, I mean, Vardy probably won't start, they're probably gonna roll with Daka here, but they're kind of rolling back to, like, to having their best players back in the lineups. I mean, like, James Madison's going to start. Harvey Barnes is getting some consistent playing time. Dewsbury Hall obviously is, like, become a key cog in their attack. And then, of course, you know, Yuri Tillemans is, like, one of the best midfielders in the Premier League. So I just like what they bring to the table here against Everton. Everton are going to be playing at home, so there is kind of that layer. But, not that I'm going to go out and pick a side here, but I think, you know, I wouldn't expect a lot of goals in this one, A, because of the way Everton plays and the way they can't score goals. And then Leicester kind of, you know, they're not exactly putting a ton of goals up aside from the 4-0 win over Wolverhampton. So on this particular match, I'm going to go no on both teams to score. I believe it's +110. Interesting enough, I wanted to ask you about this because the over under 2.5 is kind of intriguing. And it looks like, oh, yeah, this is your bet, I guess. So you do have a take on this. So I'm glad you put this up because I was going to ask you about that.
I think we're on the same side here. I was going to write about your bet, and then I had to ask you about it today, and then you told me your bet. So I was like, all right, I won't write about it. And then, you know, I just took the under 2.5. But I think, like you said, it's pretty much – this does not feel like an up and down match, just with the way these teams are playing. Leicester kind of living off the counter, and Everton don't really want to allow teams on the counter. They've been pretty defensive overall this season. I would actually lean towards Everton +140 at home. Calvert-Lewin kind of coming back to it. Like, you can look at Leicester's. There's a reason I was on Manchester City last week, and Leicester played, you know, super defensive all match, and they got the 1-0 loss. I don't know if got the 1-0 loss is the correct terms, but, I mean, you look at Leicester's results, and, you know, there's some positives, but a lot of these are against bad teams.
Is Everton a good team?
Everton is a top three team, so... No, they're not, but I do think
they're hard to play against.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking Everton +140 for a reason, but Leicester have been solid in the back, and both teams, I guess, have been solid in the back, and I think that's kind of what I'm leaning on. That's kind of what you're leaning on. Both these bets are kind of similar. If it's 1-1, you're going to get screwed, but I think this is a 1-0, maybe a scoreless type of match, and that's kind of what I'm going with. But going back to the line movement, I wanted to point out, so we saw the Everton used to be +105 on October 23rd. I look back, that was the day Leicester won 4-0 at Wolverhampton. So after Leicester beat Wolverhampton 4-0, when they got four goals from five shots, the odds changed to basically what they are now. So if you don't put too much into, you know, the Leicester win at Wolverhampton, maybe these odds should be closer to +105. But that's for you to decide.
Do you think they'd... If it was like a 1-0 or a 2-0 win, do you think? Oh, I mean, like, I'm sure the odds would be a little bit different, but I can't imagine they'd be a whole lot different.
Rather than the 4-0, really.
Yeah,
that was an absolutely wild game, but just to have like the odds change because of that result, I think it was basically four counterattacking goals.
And importantly, that Yuri Tillman's like absolute thunderbolt from distance on the volley when he just like postage stamped it. That was incredible. Probably the goal of the season. I hope we see some better ones, but there probably won't be many better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. It was some goals kind of like not unexpected, but
yeah. I guess that goal was in the eighth minute, so that kind of skews everything else that happened in that match, because then, you know, that meant Wolves is pushing the rest of the way kind of a thing, in which, you know, opened up for counters, so maybe. But no, I mean, Leicester are playing well, better than they were earlier in the season. I'm still not sold on how good they are offensively yet. I'm not sure they're at, you know, last season their defense was terrible, but they could also score. This season, their defense, it seems like, is picking up, and their offense is still kind of in like a no man's land where Rodgers is deciding between an old Jamie Vardy and Daka, who's still kind of figuring out how to score in the Premier League consistently. So I guess it depends on James Madison and Harvey Barnes, and those guys are good, but we'll see.
I hate that this season feels like a, not necessarily, but a kind of a mini swan song for one Jamie Vardy. You know, he's been up to his best. He's crushing Red Bulls on the sideline before going in. You know, like the Premier League will lose a cultural icon whenever Vardy bows out.
Wasn't it? So on the future show, didn't like I change my mind on a Jamie Vardy bet? Because I was going to take the under. We looked at his numbers and it was like, oh, he actually scored like once every game he played.
Was it like 10.5? I think
it was something around there. I was going to be on like the under because I was like, how much is this guy going to play? So my original thoughts are coming true. And then after we looked at his numbers last season, I was like, maybe I take the over because he was scoring so much. I don't even know if he scored this season now.
I don't know. But I mean, you know, the man scores in bunches, so.
Are you projecting him to score 10 goals in
25 matches? No, I'm not. Or 10 goals in 20 matches. That'd be incredible.
He's actually been better than I thought, because he has 4 assists, but he has 1 goal and 4 assists in 13 appearances. He started 8 of those. So not the worst thing, but, I mean, he has 4 shots on target right now, which isn't that good.
not great from James, but
I guess his goal came off the bench against Wolves, the match we were talking about, so okay, that's right. So
he crushed the Red Bull and then went in,
yeah, that's probably,
and what then happened. Scored a goal, so I mean, like, let's keep those flowing. I did notice that it was not sugar free, so but you know, he does what he wants.
He doesn't care about his health anymore. All right, next match, we got 2 pretty big matchups on Sunday. So there's 2 more Premier League weekends before the World Cup break, and these matches are fairly big in terms of top of the table, in terms of, I don't know, the mindset of Liverpool in league play. They're doing really well in Champions League, but league play is another story. So we got Chelsea at home against Arsenal. Chelsea are +160, Arsenal +175 to win, then the draw is +240, over 2.5 goals, -110. Under 2.5 goals, -110. There's not too much injury-wise. We had
Chilwell, right?
Yeah, we had Chilwell go off. He's going to be
out. And Reece James. Like,
yeah, those guys have been...
I mean, he's been out, but...
He's been out. Kovacic, but I don't think he's going to be back. We'll see. But Chilwell's the new one. Arsenal got back Zinchenko, Elneny, that kind of a thing. But... I mean, for the most part, I don't know how much Chilwell actually changes things. Chelsea have been fine. I think lately, Arsenal got off to a good start this season, and then now both these teams are kind of playing well, but I wouldn't say overly well. But what do you think about this match?
Yeah, Chilwell usually plays a right back, right? Or like a right wing back, and then Chilwell's is on the he left? Side. Left, he's okay. Left, yeah. So they're going to move Cucurella out on the left. And
it,
then keep...
it could be like, I think Raheem Sterling started at wing back last league match, even on the left side. So he could move there. Cucurella could move there. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, Cucurella did play there at Brighton and he's played there at times. So
interesting. Yeah. I mean, this is like the reason that Arsenal's been so solid is their midfield this season. Like, Granit Xhaka has been great. Of course, Thomas Partey is back, and he's like, I think he scored last weekend as well. So, I mean, those two players are obviously way better than, you know, they were at the end of last season, they were playing Mohamed Elneny, like, for extended periods. So, I mean, if Kovacic is out too, it's tough for me to sit here and, like, select a team that's going to win this, but I do think there will be goals. But I have to lean Arsenal here. I mean, they're top of the table. They're visiting, right? They're heading to Stamford Bridge, I believe.
Yeah.
But I just think they're going to be able to dominate. And Chelsea are missing some key pieces. I mean, like, they're missing, like, what, 1, 2, 3, potentially 4 starters, whereas Arsenal are pretty healthy aside from Zinchenko.
Yeah, I think Zinchenko is even on the bench today, so.
Okay, so I mean, like, they have a much stronger side now. The Arteta project is in full swing, but I have a tough time, like, deciding, you know, going out and picking a side who's going to win this one. So I'm not going to go, like, any money line bets, but I will say I think there's a couple goals in this one. I'm going to go for a little safe bet where I don't have to take sides. I'm avoiding the corner bet, you know, even though this has been corners and wagers in the past, but I'm going to take the I believe it's a band bet here, a goal band, and that's 2 to 3 goals. You can get even odds here. So you're getting plus 100. It's a pretty safe bet. If it's 1-1, even 2-0, 3-0, 2-1, you're cashing out. So you got a lot of options. I will say, you know, looking back at some of the previous matches that they've played last season, it was, 4-2 and 2-0. So this would have hit half the time. Season before, it was 2-1 and, or excuse me, 1-0 and 3-1. So I wouldn't hit either time. But I just like this one from a safe-ish side. Don't have to pick an over-under. Don't have to pick a side. I'm not getting obscure with the corner, so I'm gonna just take it kind of straightforward here, and hopefully that 2 to 3 goals are scored in this match. You are getting back to corners and wagers, so it looks like
this is. I was gonna say the only corner bet, but it is not the only corner bet. So we didn't get a couple right last week, but I think I got one somewhere. There was one correct corner bet somewhere in there last week, but. Yeah, like you said, it's kind of hard to pick a side in this matchup. I mean, as I said, it's two pretty good teams right now, both pretty solid defenses. Chelsea are at home. I probably like Arsenal maybe overall, but they're away from home, so I'm not going to take them on the money line or something like that. I like the idea with yours where there's going to be goals scored. I try to find something about between Arsenal against Brighton in prior seasons with Graham Potter, but I couldn't really, you know, nothing really stood out to me in those matches. So I just went with my, so previously we avoided corners, and now that we're hitting corners, it's like my fallback is just, okay, just go to corners, see if you can find something that you like. So under 4.5 corners in the first half, -110. I think that these teams are going to take 45 minutes to, you know, settle in a little bit. I think it was the Chelsea-Manchester United match where I had this same bet. I'm pretty sure, even though Manchester United probably took it to Chelsea a little bit in that game, I believe Chelsea were at home in that one. And then that was the match where, like, Kovacic had the sub on in the first half.
I thought that was at Old Trafford.
Yeah. Well, either way,
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, it was at Stamford Bridge. I never.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I kind of think it's going to be something similar to that, but I don't even think Arsenal are going to be pressing as much as Manchester United did. And I think there's 4 first half corners in that match, and then one of them was Kepa had the ball slip through his hands stupidly to result in one of those. So I thought my bet was dead at that point, but luckily it still hit. So I just think it's going to be 45 minutes for these teams to, you know, figure things out a little bit. I mean, Potter is still trying to figure out what to do with his team. Like, Sterling has been playing wing back a little more, which has allowed Havertz up front and Aubameyang up front with Mount up front. So that's worked mostly. Sterling got a goal last match, kind of a thing, but you know, now with Chilwell out, we could see a thing where it's like Azpilicueta back there. So I just think that, again, 45 minutes, figure things out. I don't think either side is really going to be pressing for 40 minutes, for however many minutes in the first half, getting those corners. So I like this one. I think it'll be kind of a more defensive match than well, I don't want to say for the next one because I'm also taking it under, but just a more defensive match in general, I guess.
Nice.
For the next one is Tottenham home against Liverpool. Tottenham are plus 225 to win. Liverpool are incredibly. Liverpool just lost at home against Leeds. They are now plus 115 to beat Tottenham. The draw is plus 275. And then you can get over 2.5 goals at minus 155, under 2.5 goals at plus 125. So you said before the show that this spread was crazy, and then I had to remind you that Son just got surgery on right around his eye, so he's going to be out for the next couple weeks. And it doesn't seem like Kulishevsky's going to be ready. It doesn't seem like Richarlison's going to be ready. So we could get Harry Kane next to Lucas Moura in Tottenham's attack. Does that sell you on Liverpool even more now here?
Nothing can sell me on Liverpool in the Premier League right now. I don't care if you said they were going to go out and play Leeds United or they're going to go out and play Nottingham. You know, I'd normally be like, oh, yeah, that's a win. But
yeah, those are free wins.
But, oh, wait, the last 2 weekends it hasn't been a win. So, there's nothing that could really sell me on them in the Premier League right now. Champions League, you know, they're a bit more built for that. But, yeah, I hopped on here. I was like, okay, Tottenham at home. You know, Liverpool's lost two straight to two of the, you know, maybe not the best, probably bottom 10 sides in the Premier League. But I look at the odds and Liverpool are almost, you know, they're what, plus 115, I think, money line. And then Spurs were a little, probably like closer to 200, I want to say. And so, yeah, they were plus 225. So I was like, I was like, okay, well, this seems like a trap. But going back to their recent results, Liverpool's unbeaten against Spurs in their past 9 matches, which is, you know, I guess that's a believe it or not, but there's been some pretty epic matches between these two sides. Spurs starting Lucas Moura at probably, you know, at forward gives me a little less fear, should probably give the general audience a little less like belief that there's going to be goals. Cause I mean, I'm not a huge believer in Moura myself, but I mean, they're coming off a pretty tense week as well. I mean, they barely snuck into the group stage. They needed a come from behind 2-1 win at Marseille. So yeah, interesting enough. But I'm totally skewing away again from picking a side because I'm not picking Liverpool. Spurs team missing their probably biggest guns in attack. So I'm gonna go a little bit different than my first bet here. I'm actually going to go both teams to score, no draw. You look back at the history of these matches and, you know, it's been 2-1. It was 2-1 Liverpool in both matches it was 1-1, 2-2. But you go back through like the past maybe 12 matches in the Premier League, there's been a lot of goals, 3-1, 2-1. There was one where it was 1-0, but 2-1. There's just a ton of goals scored between these two teams. So I think that, you know, both of them find the back of the net, but I think somebody finds the edge here, whether it's late in the match, which would, you know, be par for the course for some of these previous matchups. But that's where I'm at. Avoid picking a team. Just go with what you've seen in the past, you know, 5 years, and that's a lot of goals in this matchup.
Yeah, unfortunately, both of our bets cannot win. But I think – so your bet is kind of going – with recent Tottenham matches, and my bet is going with recent Liverpool matches. I'm taking under 2.5 goals. That's plus 125. I've taken that in recent Liverpool matches, and I'm just going to keep doing it. So I'm going to see if it happens again. But you mentioned Tottenham's schedule. They've had a really interesting run of matches. They really struggled against teams like Manchester United, Newcastle. Then they had the Champions League matches against Sporting and Marseille recently. Then they had the comeback last week against Bournemouth. It's been a pretty wild run. Lloris has been bad. The back line has been bad. So that's why your bet makes sense. The question is if Liverpool can capitalize that. And I guess the question is if Tottenham will play maybe a little differently because Sun is not there. They're probably going to do a 3-5-2 here. That's the assumption because they don't really have a ton of depth otherwise. Like, they've been bringing Brian Gill in at times off the bench, and, you know, he was a guy who was loaned out to Spain last season. Yeah. So they don't have a ton. It's probably going to be the 3-5-2. They've been rotating a fine amount for the most part. Maybe some center backs have been playing a lot. Kane's obviously playing 90 almost every match, that kind of a thing. But probably be like Bissouma, Bentancur, Hojbjerg in the midfield, which it's pretty solid. But
yeah,
I don't know. With the way Liverpool have been playing, it just seems like this isn't the same Liverpool. They're trying to be, I don't know if safer is the correct word, but they're just not having as much efficiency scoring and maybe even playing a little more defensive after some sketchy defensive performances in there.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, you can look at the, like, the heat maps and the pressing statistics of how they've played and, like, since they've gone from that four. They played 4-3-3, I think, last weekend, or was it this week? But other than that, they've played a pretty much a 4-4-2 with a diamond. Like, a kind of, you know, like Harvey Elliott on the right or some semblance of that, and maybe Fabio Carvalho all left. But they've done a variety of things, and they're not pressing like they have before. So, I see what you're saying with the under 2.5 goals, given Tottenham lacking players, Liverpool maybe not like trying to press the issue as much as they have. So we're at odds, but I can see your point of view here. And I mean, pretty pivotal moment for both teams. I mean, Liverpool if they drop another 3 straight, you know, you really got concerns heading into the World Cup. But they got Southampton the following weekend. But Tottenham here, I think they're just on the cusp of the top four, right? Or maybe they're third. They're third right now. So they're 5 points off the lead. But, huge match. We're lucky to get Chelsea, Arsenal, and Tottenham, Liverpool in the same weekend.
Yeah, same day even. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, there's a chance it's something like, I don't know. I mean, you look at the recent results and both these teams are scoring. There's pretty much a lot of goals in these, but I don't know. I just wonder if Liverpool score first, are they just going to keep going for it and keep piling up goals, but that's going to leave them open in the back kind of a thing. And then if Tottenham get one first, this Conte team is probably just going to sit back a little more than they even already do. I don't know. It's obviously I like my bet more, but I think this is more of a, what side would you lean on for each of these bets for like the over and under? If there was, would you take the over if Liverpool scored first kind of a thing for a Liverpool win? Would you take the under for a Tottenham win? What would you be thinking here?
Well, Liverpool continue to concede the first goal of every match. Like, it's just like a total theme. So I think that gives teams the ability to like score and then sit back, rather than like it being, you know, if they score first, then I think, you know, you kind of have to see the other team open up a bit more. That's not tried and true, but I think just each team, it seems like every week in the Premier League, you know, team goes out and grabs an early goal against Liverpool, and then they're able to pack it in, and the game is like, not that it's an ugly game, but it's just like a little bit different than what you'd see if they go out there and grab one.
It almost seems like both, no matter who scores first, it seems like the over kind of makes more sense. We saw Bournemouth got the first goal, I think, last week against Tottenham, and then that one was Bournemouth got 2 goals off the counter, and then Tottenham were pressing, and, you know, they got that final third goal kind of a thing. But I guess, you know, Liverpool aren't exactly Bournemouth defensively, but
essentially, though.
All right. Yeah, so, yeah, just a difficult match, just given the injuries and maybe some kind of style of play changes recently for these teams and some form. So just some interesting matches we have on Sunday. But
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So that's it for the three picks. We got the team parlay. So, Chris, I was going to ask you, if we get our next two parlays incorrect, should we just, like, cancel this bit and do something else after the World Cup?
I think it certainly is worth a discussion, the discussion that we're having right now. Though I think we've hit two parlays total this season. I mean, big odds. Yeah,
we're 3-10 right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we don't get one of two, I'd say we got to go to the to something different. So
it's definitely difficult when you're trying to put two almost even bets together because we're doing plus 200 minimum odds. It's definitely not the easiest thing when we got two different minds here, just putting in random bets kind of a thing. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. But
I can't even get my picks right for the ones that for the games that we talk about. So. You know, it's hard enough to get mine right and then expect that you also get it right too. But yeah, who knows what happens? You know, maybe we get it right this week and hit it next week, and then maybe we claw back to even.
All right. Well, what do you got? What's your bet for the parlay?
I'm gonna go straight forward here. I like what I've seen from Leeds United. They're at home. They are gonna be playing. What do they got this weekend?
You don't even know who they're playing.
I can't. Sorry, I know who they're playing. I was like, don't verify that I have the right team. They're playing Leeds at home, or playing Bournemouth at home. Sorry, pack it in. It's end of the workday. But yeah, playing Bournemouth at home. I think, you know, they got a big result over Liverpool last weekend. Prior to that, they had lost a couple heartbreakers. The pressure was on Jesse Marsh to be like, all right, is this guy for real? Should we find a new coach? That win last week, I think, went on a long way to give them a bit of a longer leash. If they can put another result together here, I think that helps even more. It's not like they've been playing poorly either. You know, they've been in games. They've had a pretty good expected goal rate too. So I'm going to take them at home against more Bournemouth, who have, like, been, you know, decent. But I still think that Leeds, actually, from a talent perspective, have a better team. So I'm just taking that money line, pretty straightforward.
I'd argue that Leeds were poor in the Fulham match, but overall this season they've been solid at home and in that Fulham match. So check out my article on RotoWire. I actually have the same bet, spoiler. But in that Fulham match, Tyler Adams didn't play, and they started some guy who I don't know how old he is, but he rarely plays. So this guy was basically taking Tyler Adams' spot in the midfield, who never plays for the senior team. And they just really struggled at home against Fulham. But otherwise, at home, Leeds have been pretty solid. So that's kind of why I like the bet. That's why it kind of makes sense here. Minus 140 already up. It was minus 135 earlier in the day when I posted my article. But I'm taking another under 4.5 corners bet in the first half, because that's what I do. Wolverhampton, home against Brighton. I had trouble trying to decide on a bet in this one. I had a couple options here, but this one is just... So Brighton are, you know, they really put it on against Chelsea last match, and they're a team that, for the most part, they're doing a lot of attacking early and often, and I'm basically hoping that Wolverhampton can look good for once. They took a point last week against Brentford, 1-1. Wolverhampton are at home. They need points. If they can just contain or stop Brighton from just, you know, wrecking havoc in the first 45 minutes and just putting on the tons of pressure. I think this bet will hit pretty easily at minus 130. I don't think Wolverhampton get a ton of corners. That's kind of coming in this one. So it's really dependent on Wolverhampton at home keeping Brighton in check a little bit. So that's what I'm betting on. Wolverhampton, Brighton, under 4.5 corners in the first half is minus 130. Leeds money line, minus 140. Put that together, plus 203 odds. That is the team parlay. Chris, before we go, any other thoughts on this slate we got here?
I mean, this Wolverhampton-Brighton match is like one I'll probably skip watching, but just because of like what to expect. But, you know, I wanted to go back to a tried and true Manchester City -1.5, but the odds on it are like, it was what, minus 225, I think, against Fulham. So they're just, you look at it, they're on the cheat sheet here, they're 85% favorites. I don't know what those odds are, but
It's about -800.
Yeah, -800. So just like, you know, you would love to get a little value there, but certainly not really much you can take. Maybe, I don't know, if I'm sure Haaland has like a, I was just kind of trying to look and see if there's anything that you could kind of leverage on that one, but nothing that I could see. Otherwise, you know, a couple other good games out here. You know, we have the two that we mentioned, plus Everton, Leicester City. But yeah, and then Leeds Bournemouth seems like an appetizing affair as well. So it should be interesting, at least for four teams that are traditionally right around the European places.
If you think Fulham can score, there's pretty enticing bets out there in taking both teams to score or just Fulham over goal, something like that. Because the odds are pretty solid in terms of that. Fulham have been, obviously they just were scoreless against Everton, but you know, they've had a lot of high scoring matches against top teams. They're not afraid to go after them, and that obviously exposes them in the back to where they're allowing a ton of goals, which is why Manchester City are, you know, almost implied total of 3. But yeah, if you think both teams can score, this is a good spot here. Would note, Bobby Dick Cordova Reed is suspended, and then Niskan Skabano just tore his Achilles in training this week, so probably Yikes. Daniel James is going to be starting for him. But that was one of my main worries in terms of taking that bet. But I did take something in my article if you want to check that out. But Chris, that is it. That is it for our show. We have one more show until the World Cup break, and at that point, the work does not stop. But you can find Chris at CHROwen8 on Twitter. I am at RotoZadroik. Do you have anything else for the fans? Are you smoking some birds this weekend? What's going on, Chris?
No, I'm not. I have to travel tomorrow night, so I'll be gone all next week. So we might be doing a different time zones here. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that next weekend. Odds are looking good that I will be at that Southampton Liverpool game next Saturday. So you might have to do something special for that. I might like throw a couple quid down, if you will. Yeah, other than that, it's smoking bird season. I'm going to be honest. I've been prepping my Thanksgiving menu for, that's in what, 3 weeks or so for us. So I'm going to be smoking one bird, maybe baking another bird, maybe getting a couple other things going on. So it'll be interesting.
Smoking some birds. Yes, Chris, possibly going to this Liverpool-Southampton match next weekend. So, I mean, that might mean we have to talk about it. So,
I think we got to avoid it so I don't get like double trouble, you know.
Yeah, okay. That's a good point. Good point. All right. All right. We'll reconvene next week and figure that out. But Chris, thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Thursday. Everyone, good luck on your bets, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Cheers, Adam.